The following episode of It Burns When I Pee is dedicated to the life and the music of Hiram Hank Williams, born September 17th, 1923.
I'm only in fourth grade, and even I know Hank Williams' rules.
86 Productions.
I didn't get the damn dishes done because I've been working on the Harley all morning. You want me to do them now or before my segment for the show? Jeez, that's what I thought. Hey there, folks. Welcome to episode number 6 of It Burns When I Pee. In this episode, we are celebrating the life and music of a country music icon, Hank Williams Sr. We're going to play a bunch of Hank songs and have an interview with Beth Burtley from Hank Williams Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. We also have Jared Morningstar reading an essay he wrote about Hank. So sit back and take a load off. It's time to get your Hank on.
When my baby moved out and the blues moved in, there was nothing I could do. With mosey around with my head in my hands, oh Lord, what I'm coming to. I just keep moaning, moaning the blues. I wrote a night-long letter, say, Mama, please come home. Your daddy is lonesome, and all I do is moan. I've been loving that gal for the dark on long, can't afford to lose her now. I thought it was right, but it must have been wrong, and my head is starting to bow, and now I'm moaning, moaning the blues.
Welcome, all my Hillbilly Podcast friends out there. This is Blake Clayton, and you're listening to episode 6 of It Burns When I Pee. We're doing a little something different this episode. We are celebrating Hank Williams Sr.'s 84th birthday. On September 17th, he would have turned 84 years old, and I wanted to do a special show about him and for him. We have a special interview with Beth Britley from the Hank Williams Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. We're also going to play a whole bunch of Hank Williams songs tonight. Some of them that are sung by him, some of them that are sung by different artists that are friends of It Burns When I Pee. Right before the beginning of the segment, you heard a band called Hank Cash, and they're out of Germany. And I really like their music, really like their style. They got that rockabilly kind of sound to them, and they pay homage to Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, of course. Talked to those guys via email not too long ago, and they're working on a new album, so we're looking forward to hearing more from Hank Cash. And finally, we're going to have Jared Morningstar on the show again. He's going to do a little bit of discussion about Hank Williams as well. So without further ado, enough of me talking. I know you guys don't want to hear that. We're going to play a song called Honky Tonkin' by Hank Williams. Then we're going to go into the interview. I'm going to play another song called I Can't Help It If I'm Still in Love with You, which is one of Beth's favorite Hank Williams songs. And we're going to play some Hank 3. We're going to play some Joey Alcorn, some Jake Penrod, some Andy Norman. And Andy's a really close friend of ours here at Burns My Peace. So let's not screw around anymore. Let's do it. Hank Williams, happy birthday, buddy.
Hey, how you doing? This is One More Name, host of the Bootleg Asylum radio show. To find my show, go to flapdaddy.com, click the live shows tab, then click on the Bootleg Asylum picture link for showtimes. But right now, you're listening to It Burns When I Pee on section86.com.
When you were sad and lonely and have no place to go, come to see me, baby, and bring along some dough, and we'll go honky tonkin', honky tonkin', honky tonkin', honey, baby. We'll go honky tonkin' around this town.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 6 of It Burns When I Pee, the special Hank Williams edition. And with us on the line tonight, we have Beth Britley from the Hank Williams Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. How are you doing tonight, Beth?
I'm great, Blake. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. When I decided to do a Hank Williams special, you guys were the first person I thought to call and thought it would be the perfect guest, because we're going to be releasing this episode on September 14th, which is the day before Hank Williams' 84th birthday, correct?
That's correct.
How long has the museum been open?
Well, the museum was founded in 1997, and then we opened the doors to the public in February of 99.
It wasn't open to the public. It was more of a private museum?
Actually, no. It took us that long just to get prepared, get the showcases built, collect the artifacts, and to just prepare for that grand opening.
So how did the idea start to form the museum?
Well, the idea was my father, Cecil Jackson. He is the founder and president of the Hank Williams Memorial Foundation for Montgomery. He was 8 years old when he first met Hank Williams as a kid on the street, and he wanted all through his life, wanted to see Montgomery do more for Hank Williams. You know, he's always been buried here, but we just didn't have anything else going on until 1991. There was a statue, life-size bronze statue, placed over where Hank's funeral services were held, and that's actually located just two blocks away from the museum. And there's the Lost Highway, which my father also helped get that done in 1998. And going back to the statue, his name is in bronze on the back of that statue. We're really proud of him for being a very special part of that. And, you know, in 97 when he formed the foundation, he actually, I don't think he knew how big this would be, although he really had hopes that it would be. But he just had no idea what this would grow into.
And so where is the museum located in Montgomery?
We are located in the heart of downtown. This is where Hank Williams walked the streets. He sold peanuts and shine shoes. He won his first talent show just around the corner from us on Montgomery Street. He played his last performance on that same street. He lived about four blocks behind here. So this is why we're located in the downtown area, because he just surrounded us. And our address is on Commerce, 118 Commerce Street.
So, Beth, how many visitors a year does the museum get?
Well, it depends on a lot of the tour groups that come in, and so that would be somewhere between 30 and 50,000 a year.
Wow.
And they come from all over the world. We've had 51 different countries to visit us, and Hank did touring in Japan, Canada, and Germany. So these people all over the world, Hank left an impact all over and with his music, and they just love him. So we have a lot of visitors who come from, they can't even speak English, but they know Hank Williams songs.
There you go. So what are some of the featured items that you guys have at the museum? I mean, I know you have many, many artifacts, but what are some of the featured ones?
The featured ones, of course, is the 1952 baby blue Cadillac that Hank took his last final ride in, the car that he passed away in. We have 17 of his suits, and they're the nudie suits. We have his leather jacket, some robes, some overcoats, hats, boots, ties, horse saddle, piano, and we also feature Drifting Cowboys showcases, and we have Hank Jr. and Jet Williams features as well.
And I think that the Cadillac is a beautiful car, and it's a great place to propose to your wife.
Exactly. What a great story.
Yeah.
That was such a special time for you guys.
Yeah, it was an amazing time, and for you guys to do all that you did to make that happen, it really was, you treat us like family right off the bat, and that was really meaningful to all of us, so.
I just thought
I'd chime that in, because that's always, you know, whenever I talk about the museum, I always go, and I proposed to my wife there. So,
yes. And you were the first to do that, and since then we've had a wedding here, but of course it wasn't in front of the Cadillac, it was upstairs.
Sure.
But it was the first wedding, and I was hoping I would be able to do the first wedding, but I guess I hadn't got that chance yet.
There you go. So are there any plans for the future for the museum, such as a move or an expansion or any kind of special projects going on?
Well, we actually have, and I'll just do this very short because I give the opportunity for the people to look at our website and look at the news. I think it's located under news. It says, add a little Hank in your life. And we have put out the word that, you know, we've outgrown this location here, and we would love to be able to have a permanent home. We don't own this building. And we have outgrown it. We want this to be, it's already a cultural treasure, but it's not yet the educational resource that it deserves to be. We have enjoyed a lot of success here, and it has become one of the most stable and steady tourist attractions in Montgomery area. Our annual events are well attended, and they continue to grow each year, sometimes beyond our abilities to host them. And coming up next year, we will celebrate our 9th anniversary, February. We always have an open house at that time. But the Montgomery downtown area is, they're growing, and we have a new baseball stadium, we have an amphitheater, we have new hotels and new convention center just across the street from us. A river walk is under construction. So over the next decade, Montgomery will become the tourist attraction of the South. And we are right here in the middle of this, so we would love to be able to to get some funding from the fans so that we can, you know, rebuild and have our own museum in which these artifacts will be housed. And I pledge everybody, I mean, I have pledged my part, but I would like to see everybody else participate. This is a labor of love for us, and we work very hard and for very little bit of money. So we hate to beg for money from other people a lot, but that's what it takes sometimes. And so I'd like to urge everybody to make a contribution to us if they would feel it in their heart to do so.
And then on the website, there's information on how to contact you and how to get a hold of doing that.
It is, yes.
So, like I said before, on September 15th is Hank Williams, what would have been his 84th birthday, and are you doing any kind of special celebration for that event?
Yes, we have a great celebration planned this year. It is coming up on the 14th, 15th, and 16th, just a couple of weeks, and the theme is honky-tonkin', so we tell everybody to join us as we go honky-tonkin' around this town. There's a private reception planned for Friday night for our members only, and you are a member, and you know how that works. We just invite members, and that sort of encourages others to want to participate. Well, then, you know, they'll join membership. And we have Brian Turpin's going to join us. He has the newest book called Ramblin' Man. He will speak and be guest of honor on that night. On Saturday, we also have the Collector's Fair. This is the fourth year that the Collectors have been here, Ed Guy being one of the main ones from California. Saturday, then we'll go to the cemetery at 10 a.m. and do a wreath laying and memorial service. As soon as that's over, we come back to the museum and have entertainment throughout the day. The bands will play, and people come from all over the United States and sing his music.
Isn't Joey Alcorn one of the special guests that's going to be at your show?
He is. Special appearance by Joey and Lynn Owsley. Lynn Owsley was a troubadour for Ernest Tubb. He played steel guitar for Ernest Tubb. And they'll present something called the Honky Tonk History Concert Series.
Okay.
And I believe this is going to be their first series. We have also going to salute Jimmy Porter. He was a friend of Hank's for over 65 years. Jimmy played with Hank when he was only 13 years old. He played steel guitar for him. He will be here and be. We saluted. We try to do that for someone every year. And Braxton Shuford was our guest of honor in January this past January. He had known Hank for over 70 years, and staying true to his memory. That's the most important thing. Is these people that knew Hank loved him, and they're very protective of Hank's memory.
And so all the information in regards to times and everything, can they get that on the internet as well?
No, they can, because on Sunday we have a gospel hour going on here, and as soon as that's over, we'll go down to the Riverwalk, the amphitheater, and we will hear Daryl Singletary, Earl Thomas Conley, Jason Michael Carroll, and Joe Nichols.
Wow.
Tickets are $25. It's general admission. Bring lawn chairs. No coolers are permitted. Starts at 5. Gates open at 4. And there's more information on the website if they'd like to look at that and get their tickets for that.
Sure.
And that's presented by the city. But it is a Hank Williams birthday bash.
Okay. And so I know that we don't give too many people too much time after they hear this podcast to get all that lined up. But another kind of a big event for you guys is the New Year's Eve festivities to honor Hank's passing. Can you tell me a little bit about what you usually do every year on New Year's?
Yes, we have. It's become popular for the last 2 years, and we've been asked to do it again for the third year. If weather permits, we have a New Year's Eve party. We have so many guests that come from everywhere, and they have nothing to do for New Year's Eve, so we feel that we should entertain them. We come here to the museum and have music and enjoy each other's company. And if the weather is good, we go to the cemetery and bring in the new year with Hank.
There you go.
And so we've done that the last 2 years. This coming up January, New Year's Eve, we will go to the statue and have a candlelight vigil and maybe play some music over there. It's only 2 blocks from here, as I mentioned earlier. Then on the 1st, never fail, whatever the weather is, 10 o'clock on New Year's morning, we always go to the grave and do the wreath laying and have a memorial service there, and then come back to the museum. We always have some goodies for you to eat, black-eyed peas for the good luck, for one, and pies and cakes, and we have music for a few hours that day.
Sure.
So that actually has become one of the top 10 events that you must do in the state of Alabama Bureau of Tourism and Travel. And also I wanted to go back to this September. This September month is, Hank Williams is the featured artist for the month of September in the Year of the Alabama Arts. That's a big honor.
And is there special events going on with that?
Well, actually, the Hank Williams Trail is still new and has been launched already, but they're still placing markers everywhere, so hopefully there'll be a couple of new markers placed by the tourism department in the next couple of weeks and ready prior to his birthday, so people, when they come here, they can go and visit and see these markers.
Sure. Now, was it very difficult to have the Bureau of Tourism get involved with honoring Hank Williams? Was it a struggle, or was it just something that it took a lot of time to get organized?
Well, actually, I had the honor of meeting with, actually, the Director of Tourism, Lisa Dale, came here to visit the museum, and we began talking and talked for 4 hours about Hank and his life here in Montgomery and the state of Alabama, and Lee was just blown away. He said, we must do the trail. And that was about 3 years ago when we first initially started this, and he worked very hard on it for the whole year to get it ready for 07. So I'm honored that I was able to help write some of the information that went on the markers, do some put in my little two cents, and helped also proof and look over the trail brochure that is so popular now. But I'm very honored to have been a part of that.
And so we talked earlier about how, the museum definitely is funded by supporters of the museum. And what can people do to help support the museum?
Actually, we have a lifetime membership program. And if you give a donation of $200 to the museum, you can become a lifetime member. And that gets you a plaque, an engraved plaque placed around the rail of the Cadillac. It also gets you a special invitation to all of the events we have, and you never have to pay to come and visit and do like the memorial services like Hank's birthday and New Year's Day. We never charge our members to come to those things. And it's a tax deduction. We're a nonprofit. Also, you get a plaque to take home with you, and the special bonus is you get to have your picture made in front of the Cadillac if you join. We always usually set a deadline on that, so if we're running the special, then you get your picture made in front of the car, which is something that we just don't do.
Right.
We don't allow photos in the museum because of the artifacts. They're so old, and they don't like all those flashes.
Go through some of our contact information. You do have a website. What is that website that the Hank Williams Museum has?
All right. The website is www.thehankwilliamsmuseum.com.
Wow, that's a good long one there.
Well, and the reason that we do that is because we do consider Hank the man, and this is the place.
Sure.
This is the most complete museum that's ever been for Hank, and we're very proud of that and proud of my father for this. But we do house the most complete collection that's ever been on display.
And I do believe you have a MySpace as well. Is that correct?
Yes, and thanks to you. It's myspace.com/TheHankWilliamsMuseum. Our address is 118 Commerce Street, Montgomery, Alabama. That's 36104. Our phone number is 334-262-3600. And I don't think I left anything out.
Yeah, I think.
You can email me from the website, but I also have you can just, if anybody wants to chat with me, they can email me from the website or MySpace.
You guys have always been, like I said, from the first time I met you, it was about 6.5 years ago, I think, when I first walked into the doors. And ever since then, you guys have always made an effort to help us out and to be hospitable when we come. I know me and my wife have enjoyed the couple times we've been there, and we can't wait to get those kids old enough that we can all make the trip, that 11-hour trip down to see you guys. But for anybody that has never been to the Hank Williams Museum, it is an amazing place, and going to the grave and visiting the grave and the statue as well. It's for somebody who really enjoys Hank Williams and understands his music, it's very sacred ground for me, at least.
Yes, that was well put. Yes, it was. I also want to say one more thing about the Hank Williams calendar, 08 calendar. It's a collector calendar. Very good. I'm about to give it to the printer to print, and we'll have it ready for Hank's birthday weekend. And they're $15 for one. You can get two for $25, and if you buy four or more, they're $10 each. So maybe everybody might pick them up with a calendar.
And I do
a lot of pictures of Hank in it.
Sure, and I do believe, do you still put names and birth dates in there with if you give a donation, you can get your birth date or...
We have it's a birthday calendar, actually, and it's $1 a name, $1 per name. You can put anybody in there you want. Birthdays are in a color, they're blue, and we have some people who do in memory of past loved ones that might have been Hank Williams fans, but they're done in a green color. We have a little cross beside them, and if you'd like to put your anniversary, wedding anniversary in there, that has a little wedding bell beside it. It's in gold, but... there are a lot of fans. I think we have about 2,200 names. I'm actually going over the proofs, make sure everybody is spelled correctly. But it's a great calendar because the birthdays are special. You know, I remember a lot of these people who come through here and put their names in there, and I can send them a card or call them and wish them a happy birthday. So, but it's too late this year.
Sure.
Anybody would like to get in for 09, we start working on that as soon as this one's over. It takes about a year to put it all together. So anybody who would like to send in a birthday, we'd be glad to take that. You can also download the form from the internet, from the website, for the birthdays, and you can also order from the gift shop through the website. It has descriptions of things, not a lot of pictures, but it does have descriptions of items that we have.
I always enjoy the gift shop when I go. The first time I'd ever been to the museum, like I said, it was about 6.5 years ago, and it was a life-changing time. I know we've gone over the story before, but I remember walking down to the museum and just loading up. I mean, I just loading up on everything, and you actually had to give me a ride back to the hotel because I had too much stuff to carry. So it's just, I have a lot of memories, personal memories, and then the stuff we've shared with you and your family, and I can't stress enough that, you know, when you walk in there, there's just something touches you, and for whatever reason, however somebody wants to understand it or what they believe in, to me it's a sacred place. And if you're going through Montgomery and you don't stop, you're doing yourself an injustice.
Yes, a lady in here yesterday said, I'm going to send you when I get home. I'm going to send you something I wrote. While I was here, she wrote a poem about Hank. She was so inspired, and I'm excited to get to. I guess maybe she'll send that to me in the next few days or so. But I plan to maybe post that on the website as well. Also, we're going to have a new T-shirt out for Hank's birthday. It'll also say Honky Tonkin', which is the name of the calendar and the theme for the birthday. But the T-shirts are for sale, $15 each, and that can also be ordered from the website.
Well, Beth, appreciate you taking the time out, and I have one more question, and it's probably kind of a difficult question because if somebody was asking me, it would be a difficult question, but we always start the interviews and end the interviews with a song by whoever we're interviewing, and so I played a song at the beginning of this interview, and I'd like to know which is your favorite Hank Williams Sr. song and what it means to you, and then we'll play it and end the interview.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that is a tough question now. That's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, Hank had 225 recordings. He wrote over half of those. And I listen to Hank's music every day. People ask me all the time, do you have to listen to that every day? I said, no, I don't have to, but I choose to. Hank's music, sometimes I can hear one of the songs as if it's the first time I've heard it. And one of those that comes to mind is You Win Again. I also love the song I Can't Help It If I'm Still in Love with You. I love the way that Anita Carter and Hank did that as a duet. Which is your favorite, Blake?
Mine is Alone and Forsaken. There's a lot of true meaning that happened in my life with that song, and it just I can't believe in a 2.5 minute song somebody can put so much raw emotion and word it perfectly, and when I hear that song, like I said, it doesn't matter how many times I've heard it, it hits me hard. And so
yeah, I agree. agree. I understand you're saying that totally. There is a quote in the calendar. If I can take just a second. Yeah, here it is. We also take quotes for the calendar. They're free. People can send me a quote, and it's possible you can be chosen for the next year's calendar. We choose the best whales. But this one guy, he's 33 years old. He said, "Hank's songs contain the pure essence of country music, and there is no age difference when it comes to appreciating his lyrics." Well, I see young people all the time, every day. So they just, you listen to one of Hank's songs, and you're hooked.
Right, exactly. So, well, Beth, again, thank you very much. I consider you a part of my family, and I know that when I do get to make the trip, which is, you know, there's too long of a span in between times, but we were up there on New Year's Eve, and I'm sure once we get these kids to where they can go for an 11-hour car ride, we'll definitely be back. But
well, listen, Blake, you always have a special place in our hearts too because of your story, and we appreciate you sharing that with everybody. And hey, you have a beautiful wife and family, and we think of you often and tell people about you. We thank you for all that you do for Hank.
And, you know, and that's one of the reasons I do this podcast is, you know, there's all kinds of music, and there's a lot of music that people either A, forget about, or people don't know about, and that's kind of why we do this show. So, you know, we've had Joey on the show. He's been really instrumental in getting this started. We've had Jake Penrod on the show, and those are two guys that I personally met on New Year's Eve, and you know they're really great guys, and they're trying to carry on, you know, some of the traditional stuff, and that's what we're all about here on the show.
Yes, we love their music, love those guys. They're great people.
All right, Beth. Well, again, thank you very much for being on the show, and good luck with the celebration. And if anybody wants to get a hold of you guys, they definitely have a lot of access to you on the website and MySpace, and they can just give you a call if they need to, right?
Yes, they can. Thank you, Blake.
Thank you, Beth. Take care.
You too.
I passed you on the street, and my heart fell at your feet. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. Somebody else stood by your side, and he looked so satisfied. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. A picture from the past came slowly stealing as I brushed your arm and walked so close to you. Then suddenly I got that old time feeling. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you.
Y'all, it's Cheyenne here. No, it's not the end of the show already, but it's time for me to tell you about TwangNation.com. TwangNation is one of our favorite websites here at Burns When IP, I love sitting in my silky black teddy with a cold beer in hand and logging on to their website. They feature a lot of country music blogs, news, and reviews. They have tons of links to your favorite real country artists and labels as well. So go check them out, because you know as well as I do, country music shouldn't suck.
All you want to do is sit around and pipe. And now I've had enough, so I'm getting out. I'm leaving now. I'm leaving now. Well, I'm long gone, Daddy. I don't need you anyhow. Well, I've been in the doghouse a doggone long. When I get a kiss, I think that something's wrong. I'm leaving now.
Folks, welcome back, and you just got done hearing Long Gone Daddy by Hank Williams III. That can be found on the Hank Williams Sr. Timeless CD. I chose to use a studio recording that Hank III has done besides one of the bootlegs, so I hope you all enjoyed that. And now, before we go into the next song, you know, I, as many of you know or don't know, I proposed to my wife at the Hank Williams Museum. It's one of... And when I was setting this whole thing up, I had contacted Beth at the museum and said, hey, you know, I'd really like to have somebody either sing or play the guitar when I ask. And when we got down there, you know, I left it all up to her. And a gentleman by the name of Andy Norman was there, and he had his guitar out, and he was sitting next to the Cadillac that Hank Williams died in, and he started playing a song, and me and my wife were there, and he started playing a John Michael Montgomery song, and Keeper of the Stars, I do believe. And it was just really awesome that Andy took the time to do that and be part of such a major event in my life. And so when I decided to do this Hank Williams special, I knew I had to get a hold of Andy and get a recording of him playing a Hank Williams song. So that's a little bit of the story behind my relationship with Andy and how we met. The next song after that I'm going to play is Alone and Forsaken, which is probably, to me, is the best Hank Williams song, my favorite Hank Williams song. It's raw emotion. It hits you in the gut. It's well written, and it has a lot of meaning to me. The first time that I went to the Hank Williams Museum down in Montgomery was about 6.5 years ago, and I was fighting a battle with alcoholism and really down and really out, and it was kind of a last-ditch effort to clean myself up, and went down there to Montgomery and visited the museum and visited the statue. And then I spent some time at the grave, the Hank Williams grave, and that was the last drink I had, was in Montgomery, Alabama. And I've been clean and sober ever since. And, you know, I don't know if it's a spiritual thing that happened there. I can't explain it. All I know is that after that trip on my way back, the urge to drink was taken away from me, and I really think it had something to do with being there. So that song and Alone and Forsaken really kind of describes how I was feeling at the time when I went down there. And it means a lot to me, and the Hank Williams Museum means a lot to me, all the folks there do, and that's why I keep talking about them over and over in the show. But Beth and her father Cecil have been really great to me and my family. So we're going to hear Hey Good Looking by Andy Norman, and then we're going to hear Hank Williams singing Alone and Forsaken. We'll even throw in Hank Williams singing Help Me. And then we'll go on to the next segment, which is Jared Morningstar. So listen up, folks. Hope you enjoy it.
Hey, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Hey, sweet baby, find us a brand new recipe. I've got a hot rod Ford and a $2 bill, and I know a spot right over the hill. There's soda pop and the dance is free, so if you wanna have fun, come along with me. Say hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Something up with me.
We met in the springtime when blossoms unfold. The pastures were green and the meadows were gold. Our love was in flower as summer grew on. Her love, like the leaves, now have withered and gone. The roses have faded, there's frost at my door. The birds in the morning don't sing anymore. The grass in the valley is starting to die, and out in the darkness the whippoorwills cry. Alone and forsaken by fate and by man, oh Lord, if you hear me, please hold my hand. Oh, please understand. Oh, where has she gone to? Oh, where can she be? She may have forsaken some other like me. She promised to honor, to love and obey. Each vow was a plaything that she threw away. The darkness is falling, the sky has turned gray. A hound in the distance is starting to bay. I wonder what she's thinking of. Forsaken, forgotten, without any love. Alone and forsaken by fate and by man. Oh Lord, if you hear me, please hold my hand. Oh, please understand.
We promised it. You waited for it. Now it's finally here. The Section 86 online store. It's the one-stop shop for all your Burns and IP merchandise. T-shirts, mouse pads, bumper stickers, and much more. We even have women's thongs and men's boxers for those of you who want to get down and dirty. We have many designs to choose from, and even have censored and uncensored versions of all available. Prices are definitely reasonable. Hey, we're not trying to make a fortune here. So whip out the credit card and head to www.cafepress.com/section86. If you can't remember the website address, just go to our MySpace and click on the hyperlink. It's fast, easy, and you'll be as cool as hell sporting your Burns and IP paraphernalia. And don't forget to grab some Vertebreaker stuff, too. Support Section 86 at Burns My Peace. Again, the website is www.cafepress.com/section86.
Of the day, 'cause her daddy had gone far away. On her little face was a look of despair. I stood there and listened, and I heard this prayer. My mama says daddy has brought us to shame, and I'm never no more to mention his name. Lord, take me and lead me and hold to my hand. Oh, Heavenly Father, help me understand. You know, friends, I wonder how many homes are broken tonight, and just how many tears are shed by some little word of anger that never should have been said. I'd like to tell you a story of a family I once knew. We'll call them Mary and William and their little daughter Sue. Now, Mary was just a plain mother, and Bill, well, he was the usual dad. And they had their little family quarrels like everybody else, but neither one really got mad. Then one day something happened, It was nothing, of course, but one word led to another, and the last word led to a divorce. Now here were two grown-up people who failed to use common sense. They strengthened their own selfish pride at little Sue's expense. You know, she didn't ask to be brought to this world to drift from pillar to post. But a divorce never stops to consider the ones it hurts the most. There'd be a lot more honest loving in this wicked old world today if just a few parted parents could hear little Sue say, "Take me and lead me and hold to my hand. Oh, Heavenly Father, help me understand."
All right, everybody, welcome back to It Burns When I Pee. Just got done hearing Hank Williams Sr. sing "Help Me." And we're just about ready to get our next guest on the show, Jared Morningstar. Jared can be seen, his CD reviews can be seen at cdreviews.com. You can also go to our MySpace and click on the hyperlink for Hank and Chain Reviews. Jared's a great guy, and we're glad to have him on the show and glad to have him helping us. So we're going to hear another song by Hank Williams called "House of Gold," and then we're going to go straight into the Jared Morningstar Hank Williams Sr. essay. So listen up, folks.
People steal, they cheat and lie for wealth and what it will buy. But don't they know on the judgment day that gold and silver will melt away? I'd rather be in a dark cold grave and know that my poor soul was saved, and to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul. Jesus said, "Break sin's chains and set you free. I'll carry you to a home on high where you'll never, never die." So I'd rather be in a dark cold grave and know that my poor soul was saved, and to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul. Jesus died there on the cross so this world would not be lost. Sinner, hear now what I say, or someday you'll have to pay. I'd rather be in a dark cold grave and know that my poor soul was saved, than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul.
All right, welcome back to episode 6 of It Burns When I Pee. We're doing the special Hank Williams episode, and we have with us our good pal Jared Morningstar. Jared, how you doing?
Doing pretty well. How you doing, Blake?
Doing all right, man. Well, this is kind of the reason why we both kind of got to know each other and how we got and to communicate with each other is Hank Williams Sr. We got on the, we were both on the message board, and it just kind of seemed to be, we started swapping music, and we really started talking about it, and that's kind of basically how our friendship started.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Hank Williams, I think, has made such a huge impact in both of our lives, and it goes a lot farther than just, you know, that message board and the way you and I met. I mean, it's pretty much determined my entire swing and musical taste.
Sure.
And I don't know if you were a country fan, you know, before you started listening to Hank Williams, but I sure wasn't. And just finding Hank Williams has not only led me to both classic country and some of the great underground artists we listen to now, but a lot, it also inspired me to check out a lot of the great songwriters from the past. Bob Dylan, past and present, I guess I should say. Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, the Beatles. I mean, if it wasn't for finding Hank, I probably wouldn't be listening to hardly any of those artists right now. And that's the core of what I listen to today.
Yeah, I know for me, I was, you know, listening to Metallica and all those guys and, you know, listening to a lot of heavy metal and such. Going into my freshman year, and that's, you know, I was listening to a little bit of Garth Brooks when he first came out, Clint Black when he first came out, but strictly just dabbling in it. But then, you know, once I heard Hank Williams, I went full throttle into it, and you know, to me, Clint Black, Randy Travis, in the, you know, the, those guys, when they first couple albums are really good, really great albums, to be honest with you. And I'll even say the first Garth Brooks one or two CDs are really good, but it seemed to be where I think corporate Nashville kind of got a hold of them. And
yeah, I'm not exactly sure when that happened in the early 90s, but some of those great albums that were coming out from artists like that, they just kind of disappeared. I'm not sure what the point was when things turned, but things sure turned ugly in a hurry.
Yeah, and I think the kind of it happened under our noses. Maybe it's because, you know, at the time I didn't have as much history or much involvement in it, you know, time dedicated to it, so I didn't really realize it, but it just kind of came and hit us in the face, and now we're taking pop country and punching it in the neck. So, Jared, I know that you wrote an essay for us, especially for the show, and like I said, you do a lot of CD reviews, and you're a great writer, so I thought we'd go ahead and let you go ahead and give us your Hank Williams essay.
All right, thank you. Yeah, when I started writing this, I wasn't sure what direction I was going to take it. What it's going to sound like is it's going to start off with me basically talk about what I started to talk about before with you, and that's how I found Hank Williams, and then basically a discussion of the legend Hank Williams versus the man Hank Williams. It was February of 2002. And what was one of the most important times of my life. I had finally started college at a ripe old age of 21. Okay, so maybe I wasn't old, but considering all the success I had had in high school, it was about time that I got it together and made a name for myself. It was also time for my taste in music to expand. I just didn't realize it yet. I had been a big fan of the grunge rock movement of the early 90s as a teenager, but when Kurt Cobain decided to end his life in 1994, for all intents and purposes, so too did this short-lived artistic movement in music. By 1996, grunge was pretty much obsolete, and rock as a genre was about to plummet into mediocrity. For the next few years, I struggled to find good new music, and often I settled for rock and roll's next big thing. I knew it was horrible music, but other than my old beloved grunge albums and that wonderful Creedence Clearwater Revival Chronicles compilation a friend had given me, I had nowhere else to turn. Even though I had always loved the old-school 50s rock sound, I had never thought about exploring music's past. I guess it just wasn't cool for a teenager to rush out to the local music store and buy a Buddy Holly album, or whatever. This all changed just before I started college. I decided to watch a little film called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And, like several others, I was attracted to its old-timey soundtrack. My grandmother had been playing old country records for years and singing old country songs in the family kitchen. I had always loved the classic country sound, but I was quick to dismiss the genre thanks to my aunt's love of what was on the radio, Achy Breaky Heart, enough said. Still, I was fascinated by this soundtrack to the point where I was finally ready to give the genre a chance, or at least its classic past. I decided to start with a name with which I was already familiar, Hank Williams. it was a logical choice. I was already familiar with two of his biggest hits, Your Cheating Heart and I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, and I enjoyed both a great deal. I also was vaguely familiar with his legendary story. The tragedy of it appealed to me and reminded me in many ways of the tragedy that became Kurt Cobain. So I went to a mall near my hometown and purchased the Hank Williams 40 Greatest Hits compilation, which would prove to be the most significant music purchase I would ever make. I loved everything about Hank's music. I couldn't believe he had written so many wonderful songs. And even though I had yet to read any in-depth biological information about Hank, I felt like I knew him. There can be no doubt that Hank Williams was a complicated man. After all, in the years since his death, he really has become two different men, the actual living, breathing man and the legend. Certainly more people are familiar with the legend, at least a version of it. It has changed so much over the past few decades. When he was alive, several in the country music industry deemed him, and rightfully so, a problem child. Absolutely brilliant and an unrivaled talent, but a problem nonetheless. It's hard to market an unreliable product, and from a performance standpoint, Hank was an unreliable product, especially towards the end of his life, thanks to his increasingly troubling pills and alcohol habits. Of course, after his death, Nashville immediately changed its mind about him, pointing to I Saw the Light in his other religious numbers. They called him a saint. It's too bad someone didn't reach out to him while he was alive the way everyone clamored to do so after he had passed. I guess everyone loves a tragedy. Needless to say, apparently someone around the 1970s changed his or her mind about Hank, the legend, and decided to remember and focus on his hard living lifestyle. The outlaw movement in country music, starring Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and Hank's own son, Hank Williams Jr., was now in full swing. They needed an icon from the past to put on a pedestal as a way of showing that this rough and rowdy movement had tradition. Even though the outlaw style was musically completely different than the 1950s honky-tonk sound, closer to Lynyrd Skynyrd than Ernest Tubb, Hank was the obvious choice. After all, he lived and died with his arms wrapped around a bottle and was a thorn in the side of the Nashville establishment. Why not? It seemed perfect to them. It didn't matter that Hank was the loner and that he drank mostly to ease his pain and personal grief, not just for the fun of it, and that he likely never thought of himself as a rebel in any sense of the word or wanted to promote himself as such. Nowadays, Hank the legend has become a hodgepodge of the sinner and the saint, and it often depends on each individual person's beliefs whether or not he was closer to one or the other. There is certainly enough evidence for both sides to use in their defenses. So who is right? Who was Hank the man? Probably both and neither at the same time. Certainly he was a religious man and a believer. To deny this would be ridiculous. A person doesn't write the powerful religious hymns that Hank penned and not believe in them. Both his words and vocal delivery tell the story of his faith, which may have waned from time to time, but doesn't it for all of us? Of course he wasn't the perfect Christian either. Before he passed away, he had certainly notched more than his share of sins on his belt. Based on the vast majority of accounts, he loved women, with a stress on the plural, and the drink caused him more problems than he could handle. But someone who reveled in fighting the Nashville norm to the point where he could actually be called an outlaw and rebel, highly disputable. I guess legends are funny like that. The actual person is less responsible for how he or she will be remembered than most realize. In Hank's case, this is certainly true. So who really was he? No one knows for sure. And the number of people left alive who even would have a reasonable idea is getting smaller with each passing year. Hank was a very private man that had only a few close friends. According to most who knew him, he kept most of what he was feeling inside. Except, of course, when he was writing and performing music. When Hank Williams would sing, especially the songs he wrote himself, everything that was inside of him came out. His music reveals neither a sinner nor a saint. It reveals a human being. A troubled, misunderstood, insecure, fun-loving, and yet heartbroken human being. You know, like so many other human beings we know in our lives. Chances are, you are one of them. That is why his music has resonated with so many people over the decades. His legend may be larger than life, but his music reveals that Hank Williams was every man and every woman. We feel like we know him when we listen to his music because he was you and I. And because of that, he'll continue to show us how to have a good time, find love in a higher power, and cure our lovesick blues for decades to come.
All right, Jared. Hey, That's amazing, dude. You summed it up perfectly, at least the way I look at it, and I really thank you for taking the time to do that for us.
Well, you know, it's really not a problem. In fact, it was an honor and a pleasure. I just wanted to get my opinions out there. You know, it's really interesting, I find, what has happened to Hank the Legend. And I know not everyone's going to agree with everything I said, because a lot of people want to remember him as a saint, and a lot of people want to remember him, you know, as the outlaw, you know, like the example for that, the original outlaw example for that movement. But I don't know. It's just like, you know, I listen to both sides, but when I hear the music, I just hear a human being, you know. I hear how I feel, and I think that's what his appeal was. And I think that's why he's going to be remembered for, you know, years and years, you know. But what's great about him is he was just your average guy. You know, he's a human being that feels what we all feel. And I don't know. I just think he was special that way. Maybe he just had that ability to let these feelings out when we did. He certainly had the voice that you and I don't have.
Right, definitely. And I think me and you mirror the same thoughts on his music. I mean, when I started listening to him, even at that young of an age, well, I guess not young, but, you know, what he was saying made complete sense to me. I didn't have to imagine being on a beach and partying. I didn't have to imagine, you know, certain situations. I mean, everything he sung about, you know, I could either relate to or could easily, you know, understand. And, you know, like I said, personally for me, I mean, we've talked 100 times, but, you know, the situation that I went through with my life, and it seemed that each time I heard new Hank songs, they kind of mirrored something that either had happened in my life or was happening. And to me, that's the mystique of it. That's the amazing part of Hank Williams is that you can relate to him.
He made it so easy. And I think it goes back to a lot of what you were saying. He didn't, like, try to talk about a lot of specific situations in his life. He talked about his feelings.
Right.
And he made it general enough so everybody could get it. Everyone could relate. They could plug in their own specific details, but the message was there. And that's why his music is so easily relatable.
All right, Jared. Well, thanks again. We're going to have a quick commercial from TakeCountryBack.com, and then we're going to hear our buddy Jake Penrod sing You Win Again. So, Jared, until next time, buddy, thanks so much.
You're welcome. And I will be back soon.
Definitely. Hey, real quick, get a plug for CD review or what else you're doing online.
Oh, yeah. Actually, if you want to check out some of the reviews I've written, head over to cdreviews.com. I've been writing reviews for that website for a couple of months now, and just starting to get a lot of CDs sent my way, and I'm looking forward to a bunch in the future, too. So it's a good little website. It's very, very good for supportive of indie artists. So a lot of the people that we talk about on this show, you know, if their albums haven't already been reviewed over there, they will be soon by me or somebody else.
All right, brother. Well, until next time, take care and get your Hank on, brother.
Absolutely. You too.
Hey there, friends. You've heard us talk about TakeCountryBack.com many times on the show, but have you checked them out lately? They've been on the internet for 7 years. They have tons of news, reviews, and much more. TakeCountryBack.com is committed to promoting and supporting our kind of traditional country, Americana, and blues music. They are also active members of the Roots Music Association. So check them out today and become informed and entertained. If it wasn't for TakeCountryBack.com, It Burns When I Pee wouldn't be what it is today. So don't let PCS get the best of you. Go check them out. TakeCountryBack.com. Just can't go.
could never see. Whatever body knew but me, just trust in you.
Folks, that was Jake Penrod singing You Win Again. So here we are in segment four of the show and getting ready to wrap things up. This is where I like to give special announcements or give a shout out to people. We first got to say thanks to Section 86 for continuing to post our podcast and help us out. Andy Hughes does a great job. They've got three shows now besides ours. A new one, Andy Hughes' brother, Aaron Hughes, who you've heard on Vertebreaker if you've downloaded it. And if you haven't, you've got to download a few episodes of Vertebreaker. It's a great show. But Aaron's got a new show. He's away at college, at grad school, and it's called Creative Tragedy. And I know they've posted the first introduction episode to that, and there's more to come. And Aaron's a funny, funny guy, and he's got great stories. And if you like any kind of video game information, current events, comedy, I mean, Aaron's got it all, and his podcast only about 10 or 15 minutes. He's short, sweet, and to the point, but it's always a good time. And again, there's the Kiwani Sports League podcast that are going to be coming out here pretty soon. It's our fantasy football podcast. They're a really good show. Even if you don't like sports, it's still funny to listen to. And definitely, as I said before, Vertebreaker is another great podcast. So Section 86 is really starting to rack up the podcast, and they're really starting to put out some really good good shows. So definitely check out section86.com to download our show first and foremost, and then definitely download and check out some of their other shows. I'd like to say thank you to everybody that's been downloading our show and been listening to our show. We're at almost 1,000 downloads, and we'll definitely go over that with this show, I hope. I want to give a special shout-out and thanks to Jared for continuing to help me with the podcast. He helps me with the interview questions. He's doing CD reviews for us. He's doing like the essay that he played tonight. So Jared's been a real big help in helping promote the show. So, Jared, thanks again for your support. And also, we got to thank Misfit Radio and Bootleg Asylum Radio Show. They're both on flapdaddy.com. Go to our MySpace and click on the links and get the times and such for those guys. They're a great couple of guys that do some live radio shows. They take requests. You can chat online while the show's going on. And they play a lot of great underground music and bootleg stuff. So, and of course, can't end a show without saying thank you to Cheyenne. Cheyenne takes time out of her busy, busy schedule with the kids and the lawn mowing and the dishwashing and working her ass off to help us out. And I know everybody loves her, and we love having her on the show. So if you think this show is over, you're sadly mistaken. We got Joey Alcorn getting ready to sing My Sweet Love Ain't Around, and that was recorded live. And we're also going to have Cheyenne's Exit, and then we're going to have a special kind of like a bonus track. It's from the Porter Wagoner CD, Wagon Master, and it's a little bit about him and Marty Stewart talking about Hank Williams, and he sings a little bit of Men with Broken Hearts. So again, thank you to everybody. Thank you to TakeCountryBack.com, TwangNation.com, Misfit Radio, Bootleg Asylum Radio Show, and everybody who's downloading the show. If it wasn't for you guys, there would be no use doing this, and I'm loving doing this, and I'm loving when I see every week and Fridays the download numbers going up and up and up. So if you haven't downloaded all the shows, definitely go download all the shows, listen to them, and tell a friend about them. It's a good time. The next episode, which is episode 7, we have a special guest, William Elliott Whitmore. I just got done doing the interview for that show. William's a great guy, and he plays some great music. You can check him out at MySpace as well. I think right now his main website is under construction, but by the time we post that show, it should be up and running. But go to www.WilliamElliottWhitmore.com or check him out at MySpace. Again, all these people, their MySpaces can be just from our friends. You can go to our friends section and click on their quick links over to their MySpace sites. So I've said enough, and so let's go ahead and finish the show out. This is Joey Alcorn singing My Sweet Love Ain't Around. And after Cheyenne's Exit, don't click stop. Listen to the Porter Wagoner bonus track. Thanks, everybody. And don't forget, get your Hank on.
Listen to the rain of falling. Can't you hear? Lord, I think I'll start to ramble. Got to leave this weary town. This old place is way too lonely. Lord, my sweet love ain't around. Memories come back to haunt me. My dream house has done fell down. I can't stay here any longer. Oh, my sweet love ain't around. Something tells me that I'm losing, 'cause these weary blues I found. This old world is dark around me. On my sweet love ain't around. On that train. around. Well, you're just in time to be too late. I tried to, but I couldn't wait. And now I've got another.
Aww, it's over already? Well, Hank, we here at It Burns When I Pee would like to wish you a happy birthday. We would also like to send a special thanks to the Hank Williams Museum. They have always treated us like family and have always been wonderful to us. If you folks are ever in Montgomery, make sure you stop in and say howdy to Beth and Cecil. As always, we'd like to thank all of our supporters for making this show possible and spreading the word about our show. Remember, y'all, the call or dial-in number, 309-761-4227, or email us at itburnswhenip86@gmail.com. We want to hear from you.
Hey, Porter, did you ever see Hank Williams in person?
I've seen him one time at the Opry, and one time in Des Moines, Iowa. That was the only two times I ever seen him in my life.
Were you on the Opry at the time, or were you just a spectator?
No, I just come here, and he just happened to be on that night. It was his first time on the Opry, I believe, as a guest on there.
You remember what he sang by any chance?
Oh, Lord, yeah, the Lovesick Blues.
Did he wear it out?
Four times, I think he sung it. Four or five times.
I love his words.
Oh, I did too. You know, he just... he wrote things, and it's so simple, his words was, the way he put them together and things. They just, an old country boy writing, you know, and I really love that.
A part of his whole picture that I liked a lot was that Luke the Drifter stuff.
Oh, it was good, man.
And that's something I identified with you on when I used to watch the old Porter Wagoner show, is your recitations. One of the first ones I ever saw you do was Men with Broken Hearts, I believe.
Oh, that's one of my very favorites.
Remember the words of that?
I don't know all the words to it. I don't remember them all. But I recorded that because I loved the song.
You remember any portion of it?
Oh, yeah. You've never walked in that man's shoes, saw things through his eyes, or stood and watched with helpless hands while the heart inside you dies. Some lose faith in love and life when sorrow shoots her darts, and with hope all gone, they walk alone, these men with broken hearts. You have no right to be the judge, to criticize and condemn. Just think, but for the grace of God, it'd be you instead of him. One careless step, a thoughtless deed, and then the misery starts. And to those who weep, death comes cheap, these men with broken hearts. Now you've never walked in that man's shoes, or saw things through his eyes, and stood and watched with helpless hands while the heart inside you dies. Some were paupers, and some were kings, some were masters of the arts, but in their shame, they're all the same, these men with broken hearts.
Well, all right, sir. One of the songs that I've always been fond of, too, actually, you recorded it as well. I loved your record, The Soul of a Convict.
Yeah.
And I heard The Lonesome Whistle Blow.
Oh, yeah.
Give you $5.
That was...
I'll give you $5 to sing it for me.
I'll sure
maybe say, 10.
Well, I'll do it for you for nothing.
All right.
I was riding number 9, heading south from Carolina. I heard that lonesome whistle blow. I got in trouble, had to roam, left my gal and left my home. I heard that long wow, some whistle blow. Just a kid acting smart, I went and broke my darling's heart. I guess I was too young to know. They took me off the Georgia main, locked me to a ball and chain. I heard that long, some whistle blow. All alone, I bear the shame. Lord, I'm a number, not a name. I heard that long, some whistle blow. All I do is sit and cry when that evening train goes by. I heard that long, some whistle blow. I'll be locked here in this cell till my body's just a shell and my hair turns whiter than snow. I'll never see that gal of mine. Lord, I'm in Georgia doing time. I heard that long, some whistle blow.